Blog Talk Radio. Well, happy Monday to you. Today is the day when we broadcast simultaneously, and without any further delay, we are going to go right over to building your extraordinary business and to join my co-host, Mr. James Nemley. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Dr. Daphne. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful, sir. Thank you so much for asking.
Well, I'm certainly glad. I have our guest with me, and I told him, I said, I'm not going to introduce you. I'm going to leave that privilege to Dr. Daphne. So, Dr. Daphne, without any further ado, why don't you introduce our guest?
Hello, Mr. Crawford. How are you?
I am doing great, Dr. Daphne.
It is such an honor and a privilege to be in your company, as always. As a matter of fact, it was 2 years ago that I was honored to meet Mr. Crawford, a man of great caliber, a man that is making wave into the entrepreneurial arena. As a matter of fact, I met him on the social media, and when I read about him, I said, my God, I have to get to know this gentleman. But the amazing thing about Mr. Crawford, he has done so much. He grew up with humble beginnings, which I know he will talk about. But the thing that got me so connected to him, although he has so much accolade and he has done so much. He was reachable. He was touchable. You know, he returned his phone calls. He spent time on the phone with me to help me to understand how I can do things better. And one of his claim to fame, I want the listeners to know, is how he takes the little man and he actually hold you by the hand, not to enable you, but to empower you to make a difference. Anybody who is on the internet doing any business, and if you take some time to talk with them, the name Willie Crawford will come up. And it's not in an arrogant way, but in a transformational empowerment way. And I don't want to say much more. He has spent time in the Air Force, and he has done so many wonderful things and is still doing. And I just want to give him an opportunity to tell you more about himself. But I just want to say thank you, Mr. Willie Crawford, for being a role model, for being a mentor, and for being a friend. So without any further delay, I introduce to you Mr. Willie Crawford.
Thank you, Dr. Hudson. So did you just want me to tell them a little about my background? Is that what you want initially?
Yes. Please,
sure.
Tell them a little bit about you and, you know, how you started out. Because a lot of times people see you and they think about overnight success. But tell them.
Oh, I am an overnight success, but it took me 53 years to get here. And I grew up on a tobacco farm in North Carolina, actually raised by my grandmother. My mother and father divorced when I was about three, and they had five boys. My father took the two oldest ones, and he went on his Army career. My mother took the three youngest ones, but there weren't many jobs available on the farm, so she dropped us off at my grandmother's house, and she went up to Connecticut to the Norwalk area, and that's where she spent most of her life. And she found better jobs there, and we saw her on average probably two to three times a year. So I was raised by my grandmother's brothers and sisters on the farm and spent most of my youth actually on welfare. So it wasn't until 11th grade in high school that I even thought about college. And then I had a guidance counselor push me to apply, and I was accepted right by the end of my junior year in high school, tentatively. By my senior year, I was told that I probably wouldn't survive the college experience because I didn't have all the right college prep courses, but I still was pushed towards going to NC State University, where I, after 5 years and switching majors from pre-medicine and biology over to economics and business, I graduated. And the same day that I graduated, I went into the Air Force. I was commissioned a lieutenant. And My training was in business, and I always wanted my own business, although I had no role models who had businesses. I just knew that business people sort of made a big difference in the world. And so I thought, well, I'll just spend 4 or 5 years in the Air Force to figure out what I really want to do, and after that I'll start my own business. Those 4 or 5 years ended up being 20 years, and I traveled to 47 different countries. I learned to speak a little of five different languages, and 6 years before I retired, I decided to go ahead and start a business, but I started an internet-based business because I wasn't sure whether I was going to stay in long enough to retire from the military. So I did something that was portable. I stumbled across the internet back in 1996 and read about how you could make money selling things, and I built a website and just gave it a try and made a few dollars, and then I went back and created my own product. My first product was a soul food cookbook, which has been a steady seller since around 2000, and sells. It's probably one of the top selling soul food cookbooks in the world now. In 2002, was out on the internet discussing how to build a successful business, just on a discussion forum, and I had a lawyer, Dr. Bob Silver, notice me and invite me to speak at a conference, and I had never even considered going to a live seminar or conference prior to that. The first one I went to, I was there with about eight other speakers, all of whom I'd read about and held them up on pedestals, and yet they all treated me like I was an equal. And I noticed that they didn't mind sharing with each other what was working for each other. And that's when I first got the thought into my head that it's not me against the rest of the world, and that when my potential customers on the internet buy from me, or when they buy from my competitors, that they don't have any money left to buy from me. All these guys and one girl, they all said, you know, we can work together, we can help each other out, we can cross-promote each other, we can grow each other's businesses, and there's a lot bigger pie and a lot more happy customers if we work together. And from that conference in December of 2002, I never really stopped working with other online business owners. I enjoyed that seminar so much that I went back home and said, I think I'm going to host my own seminar. And 4 months later, in April of 2003, I hosted my own live event in Pensacola, Florida, which was a struggle. And a year later, I did another one on Okaloosa Island in Florida. And then I decided I had enough fun hosting conferences and seminars. And for the next 8 or 9 years, I've spoken at probably close to 100 events in the U.S. and Singapore and in the UK and Malaysia. And so I'm an international speaker. And what I do now is I help people who have products or services that they want to get to market, and they have a great idea or even the product ready, but they can't get enough interest in the product to sell it. And so I'm a joint venture broker. I go out and find other people who already have the attention of their ideal customers, and I convince those people to sell my clients' products for a percentage commission typically. So I fall back on what I learned at that very first seminar, which is that when we work together, we all succeed. And instead of trying to divide and conquer and compete against everyone, I come from a position of let's work together as long as we're taking care of the customer. And that has worked quite well for me. I typically earn 10% of the sales resulting from connections I make. So if I help a client to sell an extra $1 million of product, then they owe me $100,000. And so that can be done with just a couple of introductions, really, if it's the right product. And so it's a lucrative business I'm in right now. And that's enough of my rambling for now.
And before I let Jim take over, you do operate off a couple of websites. Last count, how many websites do you have under your belt, Willie, that you operate lucratively?
The number is not that meaningful in that I own about 4,000 websites, but a lot of those websites are just a single page selling a single product, and often it's what's called a direct response sales letter. So it's just one page describing a problem, saying here's a solution, and that solution is typically an ebook. So or an audio. I interview a chiropractor about lower back pain. We put that up as a product somebody can buy for $20 or whatever, and all they're doing is downloading an MP3. So I have a lot of direct response websites like that that I put up. I get noticed by the search engines, and I really don't do anything more with them, and they just continue to make money all on their own.
Wow.
So I have a lot of sites like that that aren't, you know, huge 1,000-page sites. They're just tiny, tiny sites, but they don't need to make one or two sales a day or one or two sales a week, and as long as there's no work required to keep them going, they're still profitable.
Wow, wow. I just thought that was important to get out there, because we sit down with one or two websites tearing our heads out, and we really don't understand about what it takes. So let me give my co-host an opportunity. Mr. Jim, would you take the reins, please?
Oh, absolutely. I'm quite fascinated on how you operate. I mean, it's amazing. Email marketing is something that's, how can I put it? As far as I'm concerned, email marketing is like a foreign language.
Wow.
And you, I just don't do it. And very soon, not too far from now, I'm going to have to. And it's so funny because before being introduced to you and seeing the things that you're doing out there, before all of that, I was saying to myself, oh, my goodness, I let me tell you a real funny story one time. I had done an audio clip, a 3-minute audio clip on people going to networking, you know, how to proper protocol for networking. And so I sat down and I did this audio clip. And then I went into my Outlook and I just put all of these names there so I can email this out to them, because I figured maybe if I just let it go to these 800 or 900 people once a day, you already know what happened. I got kicked off of my service because they said I was spamming. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm spamming. These are people I know. I had to have my son, you know, put me through another service and the whole night. Then he told me, Dad, you can't do that. You know, get Constant Contact. Get one of these other services. But you can't email like that. So that shows you what a muttonhead I am when it comes down to things like that. But you actually give away information and tips on how people can improve their email marketing. What are some of the tips that you give folks?
Yes, I've been teaching email marketing since 1997-ish. And what I teach people is, first of all, you do need permission to email people. So I teach people with websites to put a form on every page on their website that doesn't actually have another purpose like to sell something, inviting people to join your list for something specific you promised them, whether it's updates on your site, whether it's training them on a topic or whatever. You promised them a specific reason, a specific benefit for joining your list, and then that's what you follow up with them with. And so on my site, typically, I tell them I want to teach them to better market their businesses, and so they join my list. And then you need to mail them regularly, and I have lists that I actually send out an email to every day, if you can believe that. I have others that go out twice a week. But the people are expecting it because I'm sharing not only 15 years of experience with them, I'm sharing experiences that some of my friends who are making, you know, $10-15 million a year, or just $600,000-700,000 a year even, have learned. I'm sharing my friends' experiences as well as mine, and so it saves my subscribers from all the trial and error. And so they look forward to my emails, and I use those emails. First of all, you know, if the topic of email marketing is foreign and people wonder why you'd need to do it, it's because 98 to 99% of people who hit the average web page, if you're selling something or whatever, they're not going to buy on the first visit. And so if you don't call them back, no matter how much they like your website, that they're all visiting the hundreds of millions of other web pages, and they just forget about you. They get so distracted by other things, they'll probably not come back, even if they bookmark your site. So if you can get them on a list, and you can email them once every so often saying, hey, remember you dropped by my site and you enjoyed it, you know, come back to visit. Well, I send those emails out, but sprinkled in those emails, I send emails that say, here's a product or a service that solves a problem you told me you had. So every third or so email is going to be selling something, the ones that I send. And there's no hard and fast rule on that. It's that one of the rules is you condition your subscribers as to what to expect. So if you do build a list and for 6 months all you do is send them free information and you never try to sell them anything, first time you try to sell them something, half of them will be insulted and unsubscribe and accuse you of spamming. So I let my subscribers know right from the very first email that I'm in business to sell things over the Internet. That's one rule. Let them know what to expect. The other rule is, another rule probably, is to use a consistent from feel in your email, because when most of us read our email, we open the box, and the first thing we scan is that from column looking for names we recognize. And we open the ones we recognize names first. And then after we see the names we recognize, the next thing we say is, well, what do they want? So we look at the subject line. So you need a subject line that's very clear and not deceptive. There are marketers who use subject lines that are tricky, trying to figure if they can trick their readers into opening the email that, you know, maybe they'll go ahead and buy something afterwards. But what actually it does is it insults them, and they get irritated and they complain. And using the deceptive subject line is not only disrespectful to the subscribers, but it's illegal. So that could get your email account shut down, too. That's a violation of the CAN Spam Act. You have to let them know. You can't trick them.
Right.
So those are the two biggest rules. Another one, I suppose, is on the timing of emails. You need to know when to send the email, and I was trained that if you're going to only email, say, once a week, you time it so it goes out on the day that the person subscribed, because some people aren't online every day like I am, and so maybe they're only online once every Wednesday and Sunday. That's when they find time to do it. So if you can set up an autoresponder that sends emails out at the same time or the same day they subscribe, that would be a good practice. But because I mail so frequently, I ask myself, when are most of my subscribers online? And most of my subscribers are American. And so I say, well, they're going to be online before work in the morning, and then immediately after work, before they eat, probably in the evening. And so that's when I time emails to hit their inbox so that it's not pushed down to the second or third page of their email box. And so that's another thing that I look at very closely. And one other rule, and I'll be quiet for a while longer, is email, if you're an email marketer, your email is scored by the Internet service provider. As that email is sent through the system and it hits the web server that stores all the email for that company like Hotmail or Gmail or AOL, it scores, that software on the server that scores every email, and fully 90% of email that hits, say, AOL servers never hit the inbox that it was aimed at. The server says this is spam, and the server automatically deletes the email before it ever hits the inbox. And indeed, 90% of the email that's sent out there probably is spam. It's people who buy hundreds of millions of email addresses sometimes and just blast out email selling all kinds of nutritional supplements or whatever, you know. And they don't care that 99% of people who get it aren't even their right, aren't even their target. They just know that if they send out enough, that some will make sales. So the people running the email search systems can't afford just let all that email pile up in their computer, fill up the whole computer really quickly, and it would just overwhelm their system. So they have to filter email. So you, as an email marketer, need to know not to put certain words in your email that trigger the spam filters. And so before you send the email, most systems like AWeber or One Shopping Cart they all have built into them a grader that you can run the email through a subroutine, and it will tell you what the spam score is, that email. And if it's above a 5, you need to reword your email. And because there's certain things like lots of words with all caps or lots of exclamation marks or mentioning the word money too much or the word free too much, those are all spam triggers, and that will get your email deleted before ever gets to your intended recipient. So you do need to grade the email before you send it out. And you know, it does no good to have a list of 100,000 or even 10,000 if the emails aren't reaching the inbox because the system is
deleting. That's right.
And, yeah.
I have a couple of questions from my chat room from Cal Living. The first question is, do you use video in your emails, and how do you handle CRM?
I don't use video in my emails. I know that I use mostly text emails, and so because I grew up in an era when spam filters filtered against too many links and it filtered against graphics in the emails, they aren't as heavy on that filtering as they used to be, but the only video I use routinely in email is I use a system, I can't remember the name of it, not Mojo Marketing, which is an autoresponder sequence where you can have a series of videos scheduled to go out to new people you meet. So I may meet somebody at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and when I get home and I add it to my contact list, they may get a video in their email that says, hey, it was nice meeting you at the chamber meeting. Let's do lunch sometime or let's follow up. Well, that's already queued up. I've got like 10 of those in a system ready to go out as soon as I add another person's name that says I met them at a chamber meeting. And so I use video for that because it feels real and it feels personal, and it may show a video of me walking on the beach near my house or something like that. I don't use it a lot in other marketing. I do have a signature file that appends all my emails going out to my personal email account that has a link that links to a YouTube video, and a lot of email clients automatically display that link in emails as they arrive into the inbox, and that's the video showing me getting an award on board a cruise. I was voted like Joint Venture Broker of the Year for 2011, and so that's branding. But I don't do a lot with that. And as far as CRM is concerned, I'm not as high-tech as I probably could be. I use a system called One Shopping Cart where people basically, as they subscribe to my database, it puts them on lists showing where they came in. And as they take actions like make purchases or unsubscribe from one list or whatever, then they're switched over automatically to other lists so I can follow up with them. But it's not the same CRM that the high-powered CRM that a lot of business owners use. I do also have an account with Infusionsoft, which is another autoresponder system that lets you track contacts, whether they're made via email or telemarketers or door-to-door salespeople or magazine ads or whatever. It tracks how you came in contact with this potential customer or client, and it tags them and lets you very specifically target them with messages based on how you came in contact with them and what actions they took. I'm on that system too, but I don't use it as much as I do the One Shopping Cart system. And the reason is because back in 2002, at that first seminar, I had an individual show me the autoresponder system he was using, and I liked it so much that I did two things. One was I went back and signed up for the account that he was showing me, then I discovered that for, I think it was $10,000 back then, you could private label the system, which means you could set up so that it looked like you owned the company. They put your face, your name, all that on it.
Wow.
And then when you went out and sold other people this autoresponder service, you got 50% of the revenue, and as opposed to like 15% if you were just a regular affiliate. So I private labeled that big one shopping cart system, set up my own brand called Profit Automation, which is at profitautomation.com. It's the exact same system that 20 other marketers have, and they've all private labeled it and put their own front page on it. But it's all on the back end tied into the same database. So anybody can log in through any of the brands, and they'll be in the mainframe, but it'll show the front page as if it's a specific user. It's just like, it's no different than, you know, the local Winn-Dixie, having a Winn-Dixie brand dog food that's actually made by Purina. You know, it's
exactly.
Right.
I have another question from Cal Living. How much does your email list cost per client, and how much is your ROI per client, and what is your time worth to you versus your ROI?
My email list doesn't cost me anything, and I don't. I have never purchased lists. Well, I have purchased subscribers way back in 2004, 2005, which when it was okay. Today, that's frowned upon. So, but there are services that will build a list for you by displaying an ad for you and funnel those people into your system. But my list is hosted on my private label of the system, and I actually don't pay anything for that. Other people for a list the size of mine would pay several thousand dollars a month, but it would be worth it. In the internet marketing, we tell people that each name on the list is probably worth $1 per name per month, and that was a figure that was very accurate at one time. Today, I don't think it's that accurate. I put a pretty high value on my time. I basically look at what my income goals are and how many hours a week I'm willing to work. And based on that, I have a page on my site. It's williecrawford.com/mentoring.html. And somebody visits that site, it says that a half-hour consultation is $600. And that is for two reasons. One is I don't charge my regular clients that much, you know, someone who has me on a monthly retainer or whatever, but I want to qualify people before I work with them. So I do make them jump through that hoop, and the pricing decreases from there. But for working with a typical small business owner, my fee is $50,000 a year for unlimited phone and email access, and if I'm at a seminar or a conference, but we can interact. They travel to where I'm at. I don't travel to where they're at. So that's the
right
value I put on my time. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome indeed. Hey, Daphne, why don't you take over for a couple of seconds while I switch phones?
All right. Thank you so much. So let us fast forward. We have another 31 minutes approximately remaining. Let's talk about your involvement in the Vision Weekend Conference. A, why are you a part of the Vision Weekend Conference? And B, what should the attendees expect from you when they attend?
Well, I'm a part of the Vision Weekend Conference because I look at so many small business owners struggling, and I see it as unnecessary. We, even though we're in a recession, if you study something like the Great Depression, you'll see there was more millionaires made in that economic environment than at any time, you know, in previous history, you know, preceding that. And there are indeed tons and tons and tons of millionaires being made today. And so it's not really about the economy so much as identifying what conditions you need to capitalize on, you know, what's changing, because the world is changing rapidly, and how do you fix that? And so I've been privy to lots of things. I mastermind with billionaires who who create money and who sort of run small countries, you know. And mm-hmm. so I see a lot of things as far as how money works and how banks and governments work. My 20 years in the military exposed me to a lot of behind-the-scenes things. And so I can – but the reason that I'm a part of the conference is that I want to help the attendees to see that it's not really as bad as they imagine. It can be, but only – and you and I both know that if you focus on the negative – you sort of strengthen, amplify it. So I'm hopefully going to show them the opportunities that are created in this environment. And also, because my specialty is joint ventures, is showing people how to take whatever it is that they do have and make more out of it and pull the money out of that. That's what I hope to show them. You know, any small business owner the majority of them, if they're on Main Street, one thing they're probably doing wrong is they're probably sitting there waiting for the customer to come to them, and they need to go out to where the customer is and drag that customer in, and then they need to get to that customer the way that the customer prefers to be reached. I mean, I teach internet marketing, but the last time I was home hanging out with my cousins in North Carolina, fully 80% of them never went on the internet, but they all had cell phones. They all had cell phones, and they were all texting, and they were all on Facebook and things like this. So you know, that small business owner who wants to reach that customer via the Internet probably needs to be sending messages right into their phones, into their pockets, in their purses, you know, just little text messages. So there's several things like that, but I want to look at who's there and provide them with ideas on how they can work together with each other and with other businesses in their community. Because what's happening in a lot of communities is while that business owner is sitting there or waiting for the customer to come in, that customer is feeling taken for granted and is being moved away into other communities, you know, other parts of the city or whatever. And so if they just make the customer feel special and show them that they care, and that they really want their business, and then just keep touching them. Those customers will come back, and those customers will be loyal. So, and then those businesses that are in that community can work together with other businesses, where they, you know, the jeweler who finds the guy who's getting ready to get married can push them over to the florist or the wedding planner or whatever, or the limo driver. So it's. And that person getting ready to get married will need all these services, but it's also that a florist and the limo driver and the wedding planner and the jeweler all realizing that if they help each other out, that all of their businesses will grow and they won't have to really look for the business so hard because that guy who just bought the ring would appreciate having a recommendation of somebody that the jeweler knows. You know, so the joint ventures that I teach strategic alliances that I teach. It's about working together. It's about asking what do I have that I'm not making enough money off of that I could make more money off of. And for a lot of business owners, that is a customer database. It's a list of customers, past customers. And so I will help them hopefully to realize that their existing customers, first of all, feel taken for granted. So they need to be made to feel special. And then secondly, that they are out buying things every day. And if they just recommend other business owners that they know, then those business owners would happily reciprocate. And they can do it just for, you know, a reciprocal recommendation. Or they can do it on a type of a reward basis where you send to somebody and that person pays you a commission or whatever. People in the real estate industry have been doing that for a long time. But people in a lot of other businesses don't seem to think about that for some reason. So that's a part of what I
great. Will call it. And I know you touched on it indirectly, but I want to ask a direct question pertaining to that. As entrepreneurs, how important are relationships in us moving ahead and transforming our business, our lifestyle, our success?
I think relationships are everything. You know, when I look at my own business growth, it took off when I started reaching out to other business owners and just networking more. And I, being African American, I'm right now in a community that's probably 95% white, and I go to business meetings where I'm the only black in the room. And it matters not one bit because know more about internet marketing than anyone else in the room. And so they come to me, and they're happy to see me. And yet the relationship part is showing up and letting people get to know you and then being willing to prove that you can help them and show that if they'll work with you, you'll work with them. And so I have no problem at all finding lots of local clients who happily pay me for my expertise. But I did have to – normally you'd have to prove your expertise to them. I didn't have to prove my expertise because I had other people who had read about me who introduced me to the group when I first showed up. But normally you do have to be able to deliver on what you promise. But once people see that you can help them – they welcome you, and I don't have to search for clients because other business owners recommend me to their friends, and so that relationships are really, really important.
That's awesome. That really is. And bringing that to the conference later this month, wow, I can't believe time has gone by so quickly. Wow. I mean, we started this special this special program back in November, right, Daphne?
Back in November, I think November 19th or 14th.
Wow.
Or and already
and
we are.
Here we are.
I can't believe
just a few weeks away from the conference. Why don't you tell our listeners about the conference?
Well, the conference is the Vision Weekend Conference 2012, taking place at the Broadway Millennium Hotel in Times Square, New York, 145 West 45th Street. The conference is designed to inspire, empower, and educate entrepreneurs and small business people. And as my co-host just mentioned, since November, each Monday, we gave you a taste of each of the presenters and what you will be getting. This is a great lineup of experts who has come together to help you take your success, your business, and your life to the next level. The unique thing about this conference, we are not doing it in workshop formats. And what this means is that each and every presenter will be presenting to the entire attendee population. So you won't have to be running from room to find out where Mr. Nemley is, where Mr. Crawford is, because you're going to be seeing just one speaker. Other than when we have panel discussions, you're going to be having one speaker presenting and giving you what they have. So this way, you're not going to be going home with a bunch of handouts that you don't know what to do with them. But you will be able to document and record all the tools and techniques that you're given so you can apply them when you go home. The other unique thing about the conference, we have an affiliate program in place that for every person that you recommend that attends the conference, you earn $100 off of that person. And you can visit for more information at visionweekendconference.com. Visionweekendconference.com is the website. On the 24th, we are having the gala with the keynote speaker, Mr. Simon T. Bailey, who is the chief brilliantpreneur from the Brilliantpreneur Institute. And he's also going to be speaking on Sunday morning at the opening session. So you're hearing from Mr. Crawford now. You have heard from many of the speakers over the weeks leading up to tonight. Last week you heard from Mr. Nemley and partial from Ed Foxworth again. And you hear all what these speakers are going to be doing for you. If you want to refresh your minds, you can visit any of the archives on a Monday, either on Building Your Extraordinary Business or here on the A New Day Show. We still have openings for vendors and advertisers. So you want to be there. So you go online at thevisionweekendconference.com. Download everything. We will have the tickets for the gala. The gala is open to the general public. So whether or not you are attending the conference or not, you can purchase a ticket to come to the gala. So that's all I want to say now, Jim, because I want them to continue hearing from our honored guests. But they can visit the website, www.visionweekendconference.com.
Absolutely. And folks, please, please, please get over to that website, because you're not going to find a conference like this with 18 speakers over a span of 4 days where you have the opportunity to pick their brains and mm-hmm. just hear everything they have to say unhurriedly, where you'd be able to get the biggest bang for your buck. And at the same time, like Daphne was saying, with the affiliate program, you'll be able to even pay for your ticket, hotel accommodation, travel, and have a few bucks to hang out in Times Square. So make sure you get there. Willie, I tell you, I'm absolutely fascinated with what you're out there doing. Now, when I saw that you won the 2011 Joint Venture Award, I said to myself, well, number one, I need somebody. Now, I have one understanding of doing joint ventures because, of course, I've over the years I've leveraged and have done joint venture, but I did not know that they had awards for this. So, obviously, I'm in the wrong joint.
Well, there's different types of joint ventures in the space that I'm in. When we say joint ventures, we're talking about, you know, two or more parties working together to leverage their assets. And it can be a three-way where I help one party and that party helps somebody else in return who helps me in return or something like that. Right. But a lot of the joint ventures I do is I work with a lot of people who create information products, for example, and they may have a huge DVD course that they filmed live in some workshop, and they want to sell it on the Internet, and yet they have no idea how to do that. And I find the people on the Internet who are already experts and known and have a good reputation in that space, and I convince those people to work with my clients to deliver to their customers what they want, first of all. So I introduce people to quality products and somebody who can move more of their product. And there are so many people who are struggling in the offline world with just finding jobs, and a lot of those very brilliant people are turning to the Internet and they're saying, well, I'll just create something where I share my knowledge. And then they discover that creating the product is probably the easiest part of the battle. It's and so that's where they need me, and I get a lot of people to come to me in that group that awarded me that award. There were a lot of people who made millions in real estate before the market took a big downturn, even some who made billions, and there are people in all kinds of investment and medical and fitness and things like that. They come to me, I help them roll out their product, and I've helped enough of those members of that community that they all they are a group of people that actually, a lot of them probably grew up in wealth, and I grew up dirt poor. And so they welcomed me into their group, first of all, because they saw I could help them. So I was very different. I mean, although some of them did work their way up, too. But the reason that they gave me the award is because I proved to them I could honestly grow their businesses for them, and they happily paid me for that, and they happily paid the people I introduced them to, who, again, had this underutilized resource. A lot of times they built these large databases of customers or email lists, and they're always looking for a product to offer their customers, provided it delivers genuine value to their customers. And so I actually do a favor for the person who owns the list by pre-screening the product and then going to them saying, I've got something that's a genuine, high-quality product. And I have contacts even outside the U.S. who come to me and say, if you find a really, really, really good product that's doing great in the U.S., I can introduce the Latin American market or the Asian market or the Indian market. Mm-hmm. And so you know, I do those types of joint ventures too. And I have people who come to me and say, you know, if you need some business owner that needs $5 to $10 million, you know, I'm willing to lend the money or to invest. But that's a little tougher to do. But when I put those types of things together, it can be quite lucrative too. I've worked with people who are quite literally saving rainforests and saving millions of jobs and lives by doing things in Madagascar and places like that, working with the United Nations or the World Bank or whatever. So I get to touch a lot of lives with my work. It's a lot of fun.
That's tremendous. I have to speak to you offline about a joint venture.
Sure.
You just rang a bell, and I think that's pretty marvelous. You know,
it's all about having something that you know delivers tremendous value to the customer, and then just showing the person who has people like Jay Abraham, whom I've studied a lot. He speaks of it as the host parasite relationship, where you've got a person who has an asset, usually the list, the database, and then you've got the parasite, which is the person who wants to feed off of the list. It is not uncomplimentary, but it's putting those two together, basically, in a way that's mutually beneficial and takes care of the customer at the same time.
Wow. That's terrific. That's terrific. You have my mind spinning right now, you know? You know, I'm starting to think, okay, now I can talk to him about this and I can talk to him about that. You know, I'm sure that listeners are going to feel the same way. How can people contact you? Now, I don't think I'm asking you to give out 4,000 email addresses, all right? But
no. they can go to my website at willycrawford.com, and from there they can reach me pretty easily. Just willycrawford.com. And one of my rules is, on the internet, a lot of people use handles and nicknames and things like that, or they brand, and they don't use their real name. I use my real name, so on any of the social media platforms like LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, people just need to type in my name and they'll find me. They just type my name into the search engine, they'll find a million returns. So I'm very easy to find, and that also makes me very real. I come from the internet world where the single biggest challenge you face in making sales is overcoming a lack of trust. People think they're going to put their money into your web page and it's going to disappear and they're not going to get what they paid for. And so I teach my students, first of all, how to build trust. And one is by being authentic, by letting people see who you really are. You know, put your face up there. Like you have no trouble doing. But when I first started, I had my mentor who pushed me to do that. She realized that I hesitated for, you know, maybe because of my color, my age, whatever, I got a big nose, I don't know, whatever. And she's like, she said, it doesn't matter what you look like. She said, some people are going to resonate with you and some aren't. Just put your face out there and let people see who you really are. You know, don't tell them too much really, really personal stuff, but let them see who you are. Actually, I tell quite a bit of fairly personal stuff. I wrote a biography called Get Off the Porch, where I share, you know, my struggles from the farm all the way up to starting a business, and it tells some pretty revealing stuff. But that book is like a glorified business card. People read that, they feel they know me and they trust me, and so they come back as customers. So it's a business card.
That's beautiful. That really is beautiful. So I guess then people really ought to be sitting down and taking notes on the 23rd through the 26th when you get up there, because I'm quite sure that you're going to be creating experts even at that one session. I know I got a lot out of tonight's conversation, a whole lot. You know, one thing I know for sure is that my son is going to thank you for talking to me, because I won't be doing anything crazy with emails again.
Excellent. And I, like a lot of the experts, I'm sure I'm going to be there the 23rd through the 26th. I'm very approachable, so anybody in the audience, if I'm not on stage presenting, I'm there to be available, to be approachable. And so I look forward to meeting all of the attendees and getting to know them, answering their questions, helping them out.
You know, that's really wonderful. One of the things I'm going to have a problem with is – is really doing that, not because I'm not approachable. I'm very approachable. But I'm going to be overdosing on information. You know, I really plan on sitting there and taking copious notes. All right, I want folks to know I've been out there a long time. And the only reason why I've been out there a long time is because I know how to take notes. And so come prepared, folks, and take notes.
Now, take notes, but you're going to have these speakers throw so much stuff at you that you, at the same time, you grab a few really, really good things that apply to your business and you put them to immediate use. And those things can quite literally make you millions of dollars over the next year. But you can't allow yourself to you're going to get – I mean, I looked at all the experts that are going to be there. There's going to be some really, really good information, so much good information that you're going to take copious notes, and then you ask yourself, what do I put into action now? And you need to, you know, leave there already in action. When I go to a seminar or conference and I'm sitting there listening to my fellow speakers, I often go back to my hotel room that night and try something out, you know, get on the Internet and do something or whatever. As a master networker, I bring my digital camera and I take pictures with people that I meet. I put those pictures on a greeting card and send it to them saying, let's stay in touch, let's follow up. Maybe I'll even send them a gift or something. I often will get their address when I take that picture, and often by the time they get home, there's a card in the mail from me to them, and that's how actively I follow up, because 95% of people will take your business card, go home and stick it in a desk drawer and never look at it, even though they had the intention of following up with you. So I'm extremely proactive, and that's what I encourage our listeners and our attendees to do, is to sit there, and you're going to get a lot of really, really good ideas, proven stuff that works, and yet it won't do anything for you if you don't put it into action. So say, I'm going to do this right now, and then just start putting it to use, and it'll change your life, I mean, massively.
I have another thing here from Cal Living. It says, I think the rules of who you are on the Internet are changing. Since the data lasts forever and you lose control over content, when do we start to think about safety and the use of a corporation or an LLC or a DBA?
Well, in my opinion, as soon as you start getting successful, you become a target for people who just think, well, you've got money, let me take it from you. So you always want the protection of some entity other than yourself. You know, even if you're just starting a little tiny business selling an e-book, you probably want an LLC so that you've separated your business from your personal life. And certainly when you have a corporation or a bigger business, you want to do that, and you want to, you know, not use your corporate account to pay personal expenses, because that's called piercing the corporate veil. And if
you're
ever sued and they say, well, you didn't really treat it like it was a separate business, then all your assets are exposed, you know. And so you want to separate things right from the start. As far as your identity online, I came from a military background where, you know, I did things where I could have been captured and tortured and all kinds of things. Yet I was taught that there was already, by the time I finished college, so much information about me out there that while I did want to be discreet, every time I did something in high school or college, you know, the local newspaper wrote it up, and that was in databases. And so there's so much in databases already about you that I don't worry about that so much anymore. I'm still cautious, you know. I don't printed copies of my checks and stuff like that. But I don't worry as much about that as I used to. But you do need to be, you know, forever vigilant, because there are people out there trying to steal your identity and steal your banking information and things like that. But it's a balancing act. It's like I sell information products over the Internet where people can buy it, and then 20 minutes after they've downloaded it, if it's digitally downloaded, they can refund. I don't worry about people who do that, because it's going to happen, you know. And so I don't worry about a lot of things that I used to for some reason, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Fascinating information. Fascinating. And I listen to my own podcast, so I can I don't have to take notes all the time. I can just go back and listen to it again. So I picked up a lot of stuff this evening. Daphne, on you.
Yes. I tell you, it is never enough time. We are down to 4 minutes, and all I want to do right now is to encourage people, if you have not yet registered, to go to the website, visionweekendconference.com, tell your cousin, your sister, your neighbor that you have not spoke to, because if they want to be part of the testimony of what's going to happen after, when the at the end of the recession, you need to begin to invest in yourself. So it's either you're going to be part of the solution or you're going to be part of the problem by sitting and just whining about what the government should have done for you or could be doing for you. So here we are. We have come together to invest in you. Now it is your responsibility to go and invest in yourself. I want to take this time to thank Willie for coming on and so eloquently investing in all the listeners. And Jim, as always, it's an honor and a privilege to co-host with you.
Oh, it's a blast with you, Dr. Daphne, a blast.
And I was very honored to be invited to the show, too. I learned as much as I shared, and I always do. I learn from the people that I interact with every day. I figured that when I stop learning, life's over with.
That's right.
Oh, absolutely. Total agreement.
That's right.
I'm in
That's
total
right.
agreement.
That's right. So, Willie, please give your website one more time.
That's WillieCrawford.com, WillieCrawford.com. And there they can actually sign up to my free newsletter or just reach out and say hi, and I do. It eventually gets to me, and I respond to everyone who says anything to me. I mean, I put myself out there. I am reachable.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jim Willie spoke about how he has his digital camera and he keeps connected. He was, a few weeks ago, he was on a cruise ship. And from the minute he left his house, we were with him every step of the way. And I keep saying every day, I say, wow, I wish I could learn to do this. And it's like you were there on the cruise with him. So, you know, there's so much to learn from this gentleman. So if you're looking to go anywhere with your business, you need to be at the Vision Weekend Conference.
That's
right. I was going to say that what may have not been so obvious was that actually all those pictures from the cruise were selling, because I was selling people on the idea of going on the cruise next year and giving them a link to register, where I get a commission if I sign up enough cabins. And so even when I share my life, I am encouraging people to reach out and expand themselves, but I was also selling at the same time, just in a very subtle way.
Wonderful. And that's what I have to learn. Willie, you are stuck with me, and you're not going anywhere. So you're stuck with me. We are Siamese twins, because there's so much
I have to learn.
I just want to say thanks to everyone, and we'll see you next week. I forget who our guest is, but we will watch us on social media. But I just want to leave you now with our theme song. And
thank you. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.